You are stepping into the mess. A moderately entertaining sports show with your hosts, Zach Martin and Chris Mayo.
All right, welcome to the mess. This is our second March Madness update of the mess after the first weekend. As always, I'm Zach, and with me is Chris. And looking at Chris's bracket right now, I see a lot of red.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, I suck. I should never be allowed to fill out brackets. Yet, I have filled out at least 3 second chance brackets, so it's not going to stop me. I don't care if there's red. Red means an exciting tournament.
Okay, so here's my question. Does that say that you had Temple advancing all the way to
Elite 8?
The Elite 8?
Yes.
Okay, I was just checking.
Don't question it. Just move along. Just in general, I would say the first weekend has been very, very exciting. The first day, heck, the first 4 games were insanely exciting.
Yeah, it's been a good first weekend.
I mean, there's been some games that I haven't particularly found that entertaining. And there's been upsets. There's been people steamrolling. A lot of red on my bracket, like Zach said. His isn't exactly green aplenty either.
No, it's not green aplenty. And right now, I'm not winning. But I think that if nobody's champion wins...
Based on this, Zach has a possible 107 points left. I have a possible 87. I'm horrible at this. But there's multiple people with more...
Well, obviously, some people have higher possibility because their champions are still in there. And it, obviously, seeing as I lost my champion, not only do I have that game gone, I have the semifinal game gone. So, I mean, I think that if other people's champions start getting knocked off, I think in our league there's 14 teams. Half of us already have lost our champion. 6 of us picked Kansas. Our friend Nate Schonk picked Villanova. I think there might be 1 Syracuse, 2 Dukes, a couple Ohio States.
And a Kentucky.
And a Kentucky or two. I mean, yeah. So if those teams start losing, I have a decent shot. I did, on my bracket on CBS Sports on Facebook, I am in the top 1% in that bracket. I did not have Kansas in the Final Four. I did not have Nova in the Final Four. It's Ohio State losing to Kentucky in the championship game. In that bracket, I'm doing pretty good. I actually had Baylor beating Nova. I have all my Elite Eight teams still alive, so that could be good, but we'll have to see.
All right. I figured we'd just take a brief overview of each region. Starting in the West.
I see you're actually doing good in the West.
Starting in the West, because I like the West. The only game I didn't pick was Murray State over Vandy, but... 13-4, whatever. As far as just looking at the games that were played, I really don't see anything that was overly exciting.
No, I mean, the BYU-Florida game was 2 overtimes. It was kind of entertaining.
I say that was entertaining in that it set the stage for, because that was one of the first games.
Yeah.
And that really got you into it while watching. Your second round games, they were all... I guess Butler and Murray State was close, but as was Xavier-Pittsburgh. Yeah, Xavier-Pittsburgh.
I got that one a little bit on the radio. It was a pretty close finish.
It was a pretty close game, but from what I was watching, it seemed like Xavier gave up a huge lead. Because I know they were down early and streaked ahead on like a 20-0 run to be up by 13. And the game is a 3-point game, so... Sweet 16 matchups are Syracuse Butler and Xavier versus Kansas State. I see no reason for it not to be 1-2 in that bracket.
I think it's going
Kansas State.
I think it's going to be 1-2. I would prefer to see Butler versus
Xavier.
Do I think that's going to happen? No. Although this is a pretty good year for upsets, so I'd go out on a limb and say that only one of the two would probably make it. I think that it could be very... I think that its chances are that you could see a Kansas State Butler matchup. I think that's
I'm going the other way. Like I said, I think it's going to be 1-2. But if you're going to have an upset in there, I think Xavier beating Kansas State more so than Butler beating Syracuse. I think that Syracuse playing the zone defense really does give people trouble.
Well, most of Butler's problems depends on if their center, I think Matt Howard is his name, if he stays out of foul trouble, they can be very, very tough. But if he gets into foul trouble, then they've really got no big guys on the inside, and Syracuse will probably just rack up some points.
Okay. Going over to the South region, there were upsets aplenty. First round, Old Dominion over Notre Dame.
Purdue over Siena.
You laughed at this as an upset, but a lot of people hide that.
Well, the reason why I say it's an upset is basically lots of people, including President Obama, who said that he felt sorry for Purdue, picked Siena to win basically because Robbie Hummel's out and because in the Big Ten tournament against Minnesota, Purdue scored 11 points in the second half of that game, or in the first half of that game. And so a lot of people didn't expect them to be able to do it. They obviously are in the Sweet 16, which says something for them as a team.
And I will correct you and say that the Siena center, Mr. Screech, he was still playing.
He was, actually. I saw that.
The biggest upset out of this bracket is clearly St. Mary's beating Villanova. Villanova barely getting by Robert Morris in the first round.
Yeah, they shouldn't have. I honestly think that St. Mary's Robert Morris would have been more interesting of a game.
Villanova was down the whole game. They did not have an answer for Samhand. Oh, or whatever, the St. Mary's center. They didn't have an answer for him, and Scotty Reynolds had an absolutely horrible, horrible tournament.
And he's really the only good player on their team.
I think he made a total of 4 shots to each game. In the Robert Morris game, he scored like 20-some points, but he was like 18 of 20 from the line. And just listening to ESPN, because they played on Thursday, listening Friday morning, everyone was complaining about the refs in that game. So we got Sweet 16 of Duke, Purdue, Baylor, St. Mary's.
I think that it's very possible that Duke's going to get by Purdue. I mean, Duke's a pretty deep team, and Purdue obviously is not nearly as deep without Hummel, but obviously as a Big Ten fan and a not Duke fan, I would rather see Purdue win that game, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I think this region is going to have one of those upsets in the Sweet 16, and I see St. Mary's becoming an Elite 8 team. Baylor had a little bit of trouble in each round, but nothing too close, but I just believe St. Mary's is that kind of team that can make it to the Elite 8. And once they face Duke, I think Duke will win and become a Final Four team. But
right, and that's why I'm kind of hoping that Baylor is able to get through St. Mary's, because I think Baylor is a team that's kind of set up to take down Duke. They have the big guy, they have a good center, and I think that hopefully that'll allow them to compete with St. Mary's, and it'll allow them to hopefully knock Duke off.
I had Duke losing in the second round to Louisville. Obviously, I wish Duke not to win, but it didn't work out for me.
Yeah, this is one of your regions where you have a considerable amount of red. All
of them but West are
as you had Louisville in the Final Four.
I took a flyer on team. I know why I took Louisville. I saw them close out their stadium, so to speak. I saw them play incredibly well, and
they beat Kentucky, didn't they?
No, it was either Syracuse or Villanova.
It was Syracuse.
But they beat one of them handily. I overtook that as they're good. It was just, you know, the emotion of you want to close down your stadium, right?
Yeah.
So I overranked them. I took a flyer because I didn't want to go chalk ones and twos. I wanted one outside of a four, the Final Four. So I took Louisville. In the East, Kentucky, Cornell, Washington, and West Virginia are your Sweet 16 team.
I actually had, going into this, I actually had Washington in the Sweet 16. I had a good feeling about Washington over Marquette and over New Mexico. I don't know why. I know I watched the Pac-10 championship game. I saw them play Cal, and they were down. I saw them come back by a lot. And I honestly, Marquette, I didn't have too big of
an opinion
of Marquette. And New Mexico is one of those teams that you never really get to see play. So
I was just going off of the seemingly 3 weeks of bubble talk around conference tournament time, last four in, last four out. Everyone was so down on the Pac-10, so I just decided to go with it. So I had both Pac-10 teams losing in the first round. Again, I picked New Mexico State. Like you said, I hadn't seen them, but they're a 3 seed, and I figured, why not? It does bring up the thing. I don't think Cornell, even though they are experience laden, I don't think they can make a game with Kentucky.
You say that, but not very many people would have thought that Northern Iowa. We will get to this in a little bit. Not very many people would have thought that Northern Iowa would have been able to give Kansas a game. And Cornell has, 9 seniors?
Eight seniors?
Okay,
I understand what you're saying, but since Kansas did happen...
Are you saying it's already happened?
Well, not that it's already happened. It's more of a... As much as I don't like the guy, John Calipari is probably saying, hey, look, this happened to Kansas... You know, don't overlook these guys.
But you think Kansas was overlooking Northern Iowa?
Yes.
I mean, it's March Madness. Overlook anyone in March Madness.
Technically, I don't think they did it this year, but technically you're supposed to have the S-curve when seeding teams. So Kansas was supposed to get the worst number 9 seed, so that's the 36th ranked team. You think they're sweating that? No. They're Kansas. They're the number 1 overall seed. They should just sleepwalk through these first 3 rounds. They were overlooking them.
I disagree. I think that in March Madness, the coaches try and do the... Maybe the players were overlooking them, but the coaches know that in basketball, if a team's on, they can beat anyone.
Well, think about it like this. How did Northern Iowa beat UNLV?
They struggled.
A three-pointer with, I don't know, like... Under 30 seconds left. Wasn't a buzzer beater or anything, but under 30 seconds. And then they get to the second round, barely. Who's this? We'll beat them. We're Kansas. So do you see the inevitable matchup of Kentucky-West Virginia lead eight, or do you see Washington-Cornell with an upset?
Honestly, if you talk all the four, probably the teams that people are talking about, you got your... You got your Northern Iowa, you got your Cornell, you got your Washington and your St. Mary's. Those are your teams. I know Northern Iowa is a 9, but you got a 9, a 10, 11, and a 12 there. I think of those four teams, the best team out of those four is Cornell, but they go up against Kentucky, which I think, I mean, a lot of people, including myself, that was my first choice to win it all.
Kentucky is effectively the top seed now.
Yeah, I honestly think that the team with the best shot at winning this round is probably going to be St. Mary's, although actually Northern Iowa will have a good shot against Michigan State with Michigan State losing their star player.
Okay, let's just go over there. Big story, obviously, Northern Iowa beating Kansas.
I mean, that is a big story, don't get me wrong, but to me, the biggest story in this in the Midwest region was Ohio stomping Georgetown. And
see, to me, Northern Iowa over Kansas is a bigger story. Georgetown was up and down all year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good story, but to me,
that's the most exciting game because me and Zach are... texting each other throughout the game. For whatever reason, CBS decides to take us over to something state versus something tech.
Well,
and we don't care.
It was sad, but on the other hand, you never would have expected Ohio to be up by enough points that they deem it boring so that they want to switch to a different game.
They were up by 17 at that point, but me and Zach were both cussing at the TV because...
Granted, CBS didn't make that mistake for very long. They switched back pretty fast.
They switched back, but then the feed was messed up, and we're scrambling to watch it on demand, and it's not synced up right with the TV. It's just...
And then the game got so close that we didn't even notice it fix itself.
Yeah, because Georgetown did make a little run, but Ohio stood and played another game. From all accounts I've heard, Athens went nuts.
Oh, yeah. People probably died and burned couches and stuff, you know.
Did you actually get to see the Kansas-Northern Iowa game?
I got to see the last 3 minutes.
Okay. What did you think of Farouk Manesh? With like 30 seconds left on the shot clock, just heaving up a three on a 1-on-3 fast break.
It was kind of, you know, I mean, that's their guy, and that's his shot, you know?
I mean, he was 0-5 in the second half on threes. There's 30 seconds left. You take it down, you shoot it with 1 second left. By the time... Just say Kansas gets the rebound straight out. By the time they get the rebound secure, there's probably 2 seconds left for a last-second heave.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's one of those things where he probably was thinking, you know, if you go on a fast break and you pull up and shoot a three, you're not going to give them time to get into defensive set. And I know you like to take a lot of the clock out, and this is... One of those things that where you have all the time in sports where, you know, had he missed the shot, everyone would have been like, what the heck are you doing taking that shot? But they beat Kansas, so nobody is going to ever say anything to him about how it was stupid. In fact, I bet you this is the first time that it's actually even been mentioned.
I mean, I was watching it live and he shot it, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing? But looking at the replay... He had the ball, he dribbled it up and stopped, and the Kansas people all went towards the basket, left them wide open. He had time to sit there, think, gather himself, set himself, square himself up, and then shoot it. If you're going to give him that much time, I guess I can see why.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you got 30 seconds, and Kansas is probably wanting to, you know, run back up and take all the time, but even if they take close to all the time, it's so hard to make it on the last second and still score. So maybe Kansas makes it, and you still get another shot. I mean, if you're, like you said, if you're wide open, and he's a good three-point shooter, if you're wide open and you get that shot, you're going to shoot it.
I don't know. Like I said, I was at work, and I had a couple, 5, 6 people around me, not shopping, not doing anything, just sitting there staring at the TVs, amazed that that game was that close, that Northern Iowa was actually ahead. Big news out of the other... game, Michigan State, Maryland, Kalen Lucas, they say he probably tore his Achilles on a play that looked like nothing to me.
Yeah.
He went up for a floater, came down all right, he was trying to change directions and he just fell down.
That's a bad, bad, bad injury. Some people never recover from that injury.
They beat Maryland on a buzzer beater, and since they don't have Lucas, the Northern Iowa, Michigan State, game seems
well, and the closer. The thing that's interesting is yes, that game does seem a little closer, but Michigan State's still a pretty deep team. They had the sixth man of the year in all of college basketball, I believe, in
Lucius.
No, it was Draymond Green, and I mean they do. Lucius came in and he did a good job in Lucas's spot. And he did hit the game-winning buzzer-beater three-pointer. I mean, do I think that Michigan State has the edge over Northern Iowa? A little bit. But Northern Iowa, it's going to be a close game, I have a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I can easily see Northern Iowa win it. I would like to see Michigan State win it, though, because I feel that if Ohio State makes it through Tennessee... I'd rather see Ohio State go up against Michigan State, who they've seen 3 times already this year, and
they've only seen them once. It was an off year. They only played them once in at Michigan State.
They only played them one time. Yeah. Oh yeah, they did only play them one time this year. I thought they played them in Big Ten tournament, but they didn't get the chance because they got knocked off
by Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
But they have seen them once, and they went to Michigan State and took them out. So.
Yeah. Bottom half, you have Tennessee versus Ohio State going. This one worries me a little bit.
A little bit, but I honestly was more worried about Georgia Tech than Tennessee.
See, we'll just go straight into Ohio State talk because that's where I was going to go anyways. Watching them in the first round versus UC Santa Barbara, they played horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Very bad.
Diebler hit his threes. Turner played like just crap. Buford had 8 blocks. Team had 12.
Lauderdale.
Yeah. Who did I say?
Buford.
Yeah. Dallas Lauderdale had 8 blocks. But Kyle Madsen had 2. And if he has 2 blocks, who they playing, really? The team had 12 blocks. I think Diebler was the only one not to get a block in the game. So... what's that really saying? And then Turner playing... I know you didn't get to watch the Georgia Tech game. Turner had 9 turnovers versus Georgia Tech. And I think that UC Santa Barbara showed what to do. Georgia Tech went with it, and it worked. And I think Tennessee's probably going to try to perfect it in that they were pestering Turner all the way up the floor with pressure. Like, when we were watching Illinois, and they kept having number one on them. Both teams did that. Georgia Tech took a little further trying to full-court press the whole game.
The only bad thing about the full-court press is it opens it up for some easy baskets. And I think that Ohio State eventually, by managing to avoid that full-court pressure, one, they did 2 bad things to Georgia Tech. One bad thing it did to Georgia Tech, lots of fouls.
Well, see, that wasn't... most of the fouls were offensive. The full court was getting to Turner, and he was having, reverting back to last year, ball handling skills. He was just losing it. And in the Georgia Tech game, in the first half, when Turner decided to start driving, which helped, but Diebler was cold. In the second half, when he started to warm up, that helped. And
well, when Diebler's on fire, it definitely opens up the inside for Turner and Buford.
But... in the first game, it was Buford and Diebler. In the second game, it was Turner and Leidy. Leidy picked up 4 fouls, but he was harassing Favors, who was apparently an NBA lottery pick upcoming. But he got into his head. He got him early fouls. Like I said, most of Favors' fouls were offensive. But Ohio State got in a little bit of foul trouble and had to go to their bench. In that
doesn't happen very often.
Which Jeremy Simmons started playing. Played, I don't know, I would say like 3-4 minutes. Not a lot, but still, going up against Tennessee, if people start getting in foul troubles, like I've said before, Jeremy Simmons is not the answer.
That's basically all you can do is you can hope that Ohio State stays out of foul trouble and that they get a little bit of shooting to start the game, and if they start the game with a lead... you can't put the full court press on unless you make a basket. And so if Ohio State is able to get the rebounds and get baskets in transition without letting Tennessee score, I mean, I think that they can get a little bit of a lead and hold them off. But if Tennessee starts scoring first and is able to set up that pressure and can get to Ohio State to make some turnovers, that it's going to be kind of tough for Ohio State to get back into it. So, I mean... I can see it being a tough game for them, but I think that that the way that they play, they're definitely capable of beating Tennessee.
They're capable, but this game worries me. I mean, I guess Georgia Tech had more size and more depth, just like Tennessee does, but I'm going to say Tennessee's a little bit of a better team. Like you pointed out before we recorded, they beat Kansas and Kentucky, so they have to have skill. I agree, foul trouble. Ohio State needs to stay out of it. Turner needs to... get his head right or something and start playing better, because I believe he only had 9 points against Santa Barbara.
Yeah, 9 points against Santa Barbara.
Which is...
season low, I believe.
I think he had 6 when he came back or something from the back injury. But still, not good. One good thing I will say is Lauderdale has like I said, he had 8 blocks in the first game. In the second game, he didn't pick up his first foul until
played 31 minutes.
He didn't, yeah.
Which is probably a season high, I would guess.
But he didn't pick up his first foul until 10 minutes left in the game, playing against their bigs, which...
Well, they also went into, against Georgia Tech, they went into a little bit of the 1-3-1, because they said Georgia Tech had never faced a 1-3-1 all season. I think it helped Lauderdale out, to giving him some extra help.
Ohio State's been doing this all season. Mainly when they switch the zone, it's been a 2-3, but they'll play a 2-3 zone on one possession, go down, come back, and they'll play a man-to-man. And then they'll come down, come back, they'll play a man-to-man, come down, come back, they'll play in zone. So, I don't know.
I think it makes the offense, it makes it tough on the opposing team's offense to, you know, get any rhythm when you're changing up your defense every couple of series.
Yeah, so I think that could give Tennessee a little bit of trouble, but really it comes down to if Tennessee can make jump shots. Because that is one of the ways to beat the zone, is to make jump shots. I've seen all of one Tennessee game, so.
Yeah, I honestly, the only one I saw was the OU game that they played.
I saw them play Kentucky, I really wasn't paying that close of attention, so I can't give you a breakdown, but. You still going with Kentucky as your national champion, or are you going to change up your mind?
I think I'll stick with that right now. That was my original call. That was the first bracket I filled out. That's what I had, was Kentucky winning it all. I think I'll stick with that. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, that's not who I want to win. As a Buckeyes fan, I want to see Ohio State win the national championship. But I'd say right now the team that has looked the best throughout the whole season has been Kentucky.
Actually, when I filled out my second chance bracket, I filled it out and I put Ohio State there. I think I'm going to change that and make it Syracuse. I think the zone is going to prove to be, because I think it's going to be Syracuse-Kentucky final game. So I think...
I honestly think if for some reason it is Ohio State-Syracuse in the Final Four, Ohio State is one of those teams that can play against the zone very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. Could be a really good matchup for Ohio State to play Syracuse, because you put David Leidy on Johnson, and you have, I really don't know much about Syracuse other than Wes Johnson, but you play the zone against them. Obviously, Ohio State has a lot of experience with the zone. It's more of a Big Ten type of defense that you face, and I mean, they're gonna have problems getting to the Final Four, but I think if they can get to the Final Four and it's Syracuse that they go up against, that could be a pretty good matchup for them.
I do think that if Ohio State plays Syracuse, they have a good chance, just because, like I said, playing the zone, you got to be able to hit jump shots, and Ohio State has 3.5 guys that can hit jump shots, depending on...
Even Madsen can really hit the jump shot every once in a while.
Madsen can hit that nice little 15-footer. Leidy, he has problems sometimes.
Buford, when he's on, he can nail the jump shot.
And you have Diebler, who can hit NBA threes if he's in the zone. So they do... And also, the way to beat the zone is to dribble, drive, and dish, which brings Lauderdale back into it. So...
Yeah, he'll be inside. Turner can take the ball in and pass it. If other people on the team are making their shots, it shouldn't be too hard.
But going back to it, I think if Syracuse and Kentucky meet in the final, I don't think Kentucky could quite figure out the zone.
No, not with the people that having as little experience as they do. That would be a tough matchup for Kentucky.
And
although I think Duke is looking pretty good. I don't like Duke. I've seen them. They lost to Maryland at Maryland. But they do have some experience, and they got a good coach.
I'm not going to discount Duke, but who they played? They played the 65 seed, and then they played a Cal team who, while they did beat Louisville, won in very unimpressive Pac-10.
All right, so let's say Final Four picks from the teams that are still alive in the Sweet 16. Where are you going to go with?
Ohio State, Syracuse, Duke, and West Virginia.
Ohio State, Syracuse, Duke, and West Virginia.
Yeah, who I went with.
All right. I actually am going to go with Ohio State, Syracuse, Duke, and Kentucky. Seeing as I took Kentucky to win it all, I think I will have to have them in the Final Four. Syracuse, Ohio State, Kentucky, and Duke. Although, if we're talking wishful thinking, the teams that I would prefer to be in the Final Four, I'm going to go a little bit different. I'm going to say Ohio State, Xavier, Cornell, and...
I'll move this down so you can see.
Yeah, I know who it was. I'm going to go with Purdue, and that's a long shot, I know, but Purdue, West Virginia, Ohio State, and Xavier. That's
you,
my wish.
Don't you mean Cornell?
Yeah, Cornell.
Okay.
Cornell. I like West Virginia. I've liked them since the days of Pitt Snoggle, but you got to go Ivy League on that one.
See, okay. Again, I liked West Virginia when it was Pitt Snoggle and everything, but I hate Bob Huggins. I really do. So if West Virginia doesn't make it, I'm not too upset. We'll say, even though I like Northern Iowa beating Kansas and that helping Ohio State out, if they weren't in Ohio State's bracket, I'd like to see them make it to the Final Four.
Well, yeah, but seeing as they're in Ohio State's bracket, you can't really root for them to get much farther than that.
Yeah, so...
Although if they beat, for some reason, beat Ohio State and make it to the Final Four, then obviously you're rooting for them to move forward.
Yeah.
Most looking forward to from the Sweet 16 matchups?
Ohio State, Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean,
been close. I mean, since there's 8 games, 2 days, we'll see every game.
Well, no, actually we won't, and that's what I wanted to talk about next. That I think is stupid. What they're doing is you got a game that starts at 7:07 and a game that starts at 7:27. And then you have a game that starts at 9:27, and then you have a game that starts at 9:47. And that's the lineup for Thursday, and that's also the lineup for Friday. And I actually, I just wanted to bring that up. I really do not like that. You have only 4 games that you're showing on a day. On your typical Thursday, on the first weekend, you show games all day long. And you know, and this makes no sense to me, from a TV standpoint, especially I guess they're saying that the average person's not going to be able to watch all the games because they have to work. Well, as a TV company, you are probably going to make more money if you are able to show in their entirety all 4 games. As an Ohio State fan, I don't want to be switched over to the Kentucky-Cornell game. I mean, it might be a good game, but as a fan of Ohio State, I want to watch the whole game. I don't want to watch just the parts of it.
True. I didn't know. I just figured they're double.
That's what I figured, too. And when I checked to see what time the games were, I saw Ohio State 7:07, and I was like, oh, well, that's the night game. Now I wonder what the day game is. And I saw, oh, there isn't a day game. They're all night games, which I do like the fact that they're all night games because... I will be working, and it'll allow me to watch all the games.
No. Again, you won't be able to see all the games. I understand since opening weekend you have many games.
But we do both have computers and TVs, so theoretically we can watch both of the games at the same time.
You say that, but no.
No, it's hard to watch 2 games at the same time. As we find out when we go to B-Dubs and there's 3 sporting events on, you pay attention to approximately 0 sporting events. Is it impossible to watch 3 things at a time?
Yes, but, I mean, even so, when I was watching the games before the Ohio State Georgia Tech game, I was sitting here flipping around, not really paying attention. Once the Ohio State game came on, I got off the computer, I swept. Quit changing channel, was just watching the Ohio State game. So,
yeah.
If Ohio State playing Tennessee, I'm not going to switch over to my computer to watch Kentucky Cornell. Screw that.
Yeah, you're right. You have a point.
But that's ridiculous.
It is. It's a weird system. I would have thought they would have shown at least a 5:20 game, or a 5 o'clock game, and then a 7 o'clock game, or 7:27.
You know the reason they're not doing it at 5 is they're like, oh, well, we have to accommodate the West Coast, because if it's a 7 o'clock
that's exactly what they're doing. More they're like they're
3 o'clock game.
Well,
there.
A 7 o'clock game in Ohio is or in Eastern Standard Time is a 4 o'clock game for the West Coast, which that's already going to be before the average West Coast person gets off work.
I'm still of you should be able to see the entire game, like entirety.
How many West Coast teams are actually left?
Washington, St. Mary's.
Is St. Mary's St. Mary, California?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got two Syracuse's in New York. You got Baylor's in Texas. That's not West Coast, but it's more West. You got
Kansas State. I mean, really, beyond Washington and St. Mary's, everything's east of Texas.
Yeah.
Most of it's in the Midwest, actually. I did hear today that expansion of the tournament is pretty much going to go ahead. I've also heard that the people making these decisions were university presidents.
A lot of them were university presidents also of teams that did not make it into the tournament this year, from what I've heard.
From what I heard, it was like Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
We've been over this, but makes no sense.
Makes no sense, I agree.
You can argue, I think you agree, Northern Iowa over Kansas.
Fluke.
Huh?
It's a fluke.
It's a fluke, but it's the biggest story.
Yeah.
Now, if Northern Iowa would have been, since they were a 9 seed, they would have had to have played a weekend before this. Are they... Can I say? No. Can I say they wouldn't have won that game? No. They could have won by 20 if they played that extra weekend, but they also could have got crushed by UNLV because UNLV had a bye weekend.
Right.
So, UNLV probably wouldn't have been an 8 because you had to get your other 19 teams of the Big East in there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, I mean, I know in my lifetime the tournament was different than what it is now. But basically, I want to say adult life, but mostly my sports awareness life. This is how the tournament has been. It has been 65 teams. As long as I can remember, that's how it's been. All the brackets that I've filled out, and I've been filling out brackets since I was probably 10. Every bracket I can remember filling out has been 65 teams, and I don't see any problem with how the tournament is. We talked about this a little bit before, and neither of us is in favor for it, and I have a feeling there's a lot of people out there who agree with us. But in the end, I think that your weaker teams will get eliminated. Maybe one or two of them will slip in. But for the most part, it's not going to happen. And instead of a 16 playing a 1, you're going to end up with a 23 playing a 1. And the 1 is going to be perfect against the 23s as much as they are against the 16s.
All right, looking at the NIT, NIT is 32 teams, right?
Correct.
Looking at most of these are big-name conferences.
Yep. I mean, basically, that's how the NIT gets a lot of its support, is because they invite your big teams. They invite your big-name teams that aren't invited to play in the big dance. They get Illinois, which is a big program. They get Virginia Tech. They get North Carolina. They get UConn, Arizona State.
Okay, let's just call it what it is. I just looked it up because I was unaware, because I haven't really been paying attention to the NIT. But UNC, they had a horrible year this year.
Right.
Absolutely horrible. Yet, under this updated thing, they would have made it to the NCAA tournament. So, basically what you're saying is, NIT, you know, like your UNCs, your Dukes, your
Kentuckys would never miss the tournament. Unless you gave those other conferences a double automatic bid.
Which would never happen.
All expanding the tournament to 96 teams is going to do is to let the last two teams in that didn't make it in from their conference. It's going to let... From the Big Ten, Illinois is going to make it. Michigan is going to make it. From the UConn is going to make it. North Carolina is going to make
it. Let's just say this.
Mississippi State.
From the Big Ten, Northwestern has never made the field of the NCAA tournament under any number of teams. They'll get in, for sure, under one of these years. And is that really an accomplishment for them? I guess some old people would say it's not an accomplishment if they're 1 of 65, because they're not 1 of 32.
Right, but the way it works, though, is what's going to happen is your automatic bid schools, your schools that are winning, the automatic bids from winning their conference tournament, if you are expanding the field to 96 teams, and your North Carolinas and your UConns and your Mississippi States and your Illinois, if they're making it into the tournament, they're going to take the middle seeds. They're not going to be the 20th seed. They're not going to be the 22nd seed. Your schools like, I can't even remember, Arkansas, Plainsboro, and Eastern Tennessee State, those schools are just going to get bumped down and be even lower seeds and have a worse chance than they did before.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to put North Carolina as a 16 seed. That's just not fair to the, you know. It's just.
Yeah, it's not fair to the
it's not fair to anyone.
But it happened.
I just think it's a bad idea. I think that they'll see that it's a bad idea once they run the tournament like that.
Yeah, if it goes to 96, it's not going back to 65. If anything, it'd go up to 128. Pretty much do it for this very long episode.
Yeah, I think that's going to about do it, and we might not be able to put one out this, we'll probably, our next episode will probably be next week, Monday or Tuesday,
recapping
the March Madness and any big stories in baseball that arise, and we will see you then.
Theme song Iron Man used with permission by SoundJay.com. Thanks for stepping into the mess.
I was actually going to let you have the last word.
That's how you lose a finger.
That's how you lose wheat dents.